Hey, this is Pastor Ricky Ortiz at MetaChurch, and I just wanted to take a moment to say thank you for tuning into our podcast and supporting our ministry. If you'd like to learn more about MetaChurch, you can visit us online at meta.church, and we're praying this message inspires you and encourages you to pursue your relationship with Jesus.
Good morning, good morning. My name is Krista. If I haven't had the chance to meet you, I am one of the lead pastors here at Meta, and we are jumping back into this series that we have been in, where we are tackling the question, do you see us down here, God? Do you see us? And this week, I'll be honest, I asked this question. I did. In a very special situation. In fact, I asked God, do you see me down here when my daughter was yet again out of school? Now, this may make no sense to any of you, but let me explain. The parents will understand, right? Talked about to have a hallelujah amen back there. Okay, but here's what you need to know, okay? Before I tell you this, though, I will tell you some people are going to get hurt by what I'm about to say, okay? So I apologize in advance. But here's what you need to know is that your parents didn't like you when you were home from school. They didn't like you. Look, preteen knows what I'm talking about. Your parents did not like you. Those random Wednesdays you had off, oh, no, no, no. Your holiday breaks that you just envisioned that your parents were so excited to spend unending amounts of quality time with you and bake cookies, no, not even close, no. In fact, even your sick days, now I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but this is what happened. Your parents walked into your room. They took your temperature, they kissed you lovingly on the forehead, and they walked right out of your room, and the very first thing they said to each other was, aw, crap. Aw, crap. And here's what you need to know. This is why we do this, is because your parents had plans, okay? They had a date night plan. They had a work deadline, okay? I'm preaching now, okay? They had plans. And on that day, because of that holiday, because of that parasite, I don't know what it was, you messed up all of their plans. And this last week, let me tell you, my daughter messed up all my plans. Shout out to Yom Kippur last Wednesday for allowing my daughter to grace me with her presence. But it was on Wednesday that I was supposed to be working on my message. I had things to do, okay? And this is when she decided it would be the optimal time to play catchphrase, okay? And by play, I say that loosely, really, because what she did is she sat right next to me and just pushed the button. Beep. Like while I'm trying to do my message, I'm like, okay, forget it. Okay. I'm going to put my message away and I'm going to do something like, I don't know, clean the house, right? This seems easy. That beeping sound won't bother me, right? So I start cleaning the house and I start cleaning the apartment. Around the time that I am completely finished, every parent can relate to what I'm about to say. Around the time that you're completely finished cleaning, I hear this sound that every parent knows. Let me reenact it for you. Okay, Legos everywhere. Now, if you're not a parent, let me share with you what this sound means to a parent, okay? This is the sound of defeat, okay? This is the sound of all your plans getting messed up. Do you understand? I was going to clean the apartment, and she's like, surprise. No, you're not. You're going to clean up a million Legos, right? This is the sound of all your plans getting messed up. This is the sound of all your hard work being poured out down the drain. Like, forget it, right? You may not have PTSD like we parents do with Legos, but I can assure you that there's some people in this room, you know how this feels though, right? You know the sound of defeat. You know what it feels like when all your plans get messed up and all your hard work is just down the drain. You know how it feels, and we're gonna talk about it today. We're gonna talk about this, but before we do, I wanna share a little bit about my story. Some of you are familiar with this, but I was a woman who knew what I wanted from a young age, and then God messed up all my plans just like that, right? I was a woman who knew what I wanted at a very young age. I knew that I was put on this earth to be a teacher. I was certain of this. There was never a day in my life where I didn't know this was true. It's kind of like when someone's bilingual and they know two languages, and you're like, which languages did you know first? And they're like, I knew both forever. Like, that's how it was with me being a teacher. There was never a day in my life where it's not what I wanted, not what I knew, that I was put on this earth to be a teacher. I remember when I was a little girl, I remember I was about kindergarten. Every single day when I got home from school, I would get off the bus, run into my room, and ultimately I would change my clothes as fast as I could into adult clothes, like a little 4 or 5 year old wearing adult clothes that I got at a garage sale, because I had to look the part of a teacher, okay? I put on my adult teacher-like clothes and I would run down to the kitchen, and my mom every single morning or every single afternoon would make me a cup of hot chocolate that I would stick in a thermos, again, to look the part of a teacher. And I would go into the garage in my adult clothes with my thermos, my coffee, to look like a teacher. And there I would teach to an empty garage with my chalkboard that I asked for Christmas. And even I would start every class with roll call, where I would call out every single name, imaginary names that I made up. And there I would teach them every single day after school till I was in fifth grade. It was my dream to be a teacher. Not only that, it's what was affirmed to me throughout my entire life by my parents and by my other teachers. They would tell me, Krista, this is what you were put on this earth for. And there's a moment that happens when the people who created you tell you what they think you were created for, and you listen to that. I was so confident that this is what I was going to be. This is what God wanted me to do. And I remember in that confidence, I had this moment where when I was so confident, and I was 18 years old, on my graduation day, I spoke in front of my entire senior class at our graduation ceremony, and I used that famous verse that we know so much about, right? Jeremiah 29:11, I said it confidently. I said, "For I know the plans I have for you, saith the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you hope and a future." I said it so confidently in that moment because I knew without a doubt God's plans for me. I knew it. But there's a problem. I knew in that moment, I'll never forget that confidence that I had, that I knew God's plans for me. And then I'll never forget years later when he asked me to walk away from everything I thought I knew, everything I thought I was put on this earth to do. And I'll never forget even more what it felt like. It felt like this. Like all my hard work, everything I wanted poured out down the drain. It wasn't there anymore. My plans were all messed up. What was I going to do? What would God do in me? There's nothing left. Maybe some of you have felt this before, right? You felt confident at one point. You felt confident that it was the move to make, the job to take. But then our confidence turns to questioning, right? Because we're not where we thought we would be. We're not as successful as we thought we would be. We're not as far along as we thought we'd be. We thought we knew what we were created for. And that leaves us questioning, crying out to God with that question, "Do you see me down here? Do you see me? Do you even know what you're doing up there?" Right? We're not the first to ask these questions of God. We're not the first. In fact, the man we're going to talk about today asked these exact same questions of God. "Do you see me? Do you even know what you're doing?" And his name is Asaph. Now, maybe you're not familiar with the name Asaph. I know, to be very honest, I wasn't either. I never heard Asaph in my entire life. But Asaph was King David's music director. King David wrote the majority of the Psalms in Scripture. And it's Asaph who would take his songs and put them to music. Because he wrote the majority of Psalms, I picture King David kind of in a dimly lit bar. He's got a microphone. He's singing his songs, right? 72 of them, to be exact. All his own story. But in this psalm, Asaph takes the microphone. It's his first chance to sing. It's his first chance to share his story. And he goes on to share a story of confidence that turned to questioning, of embarking on what God wanted him to do and expecting great things to come from it, all while feeling in the moment empty-handed. In Psalm 73:1, Asaph starts out like this. He says, "Truly, God is good." God is what?
Good.
Good. to Israel, to those whose hearts are pure. Asaph starts in this moment confidently that God is good to me, and I can expect good things when I follow him. He's confident of that. We always start out confident of that, don't we? Yeah. Right? We always start out confident. I can tell you this as a fact. Every business venture and every marriage starts out really confident, right? Because it's easy to be confident when it's just begun. It's easy to be confident and stand in front of your senior class and proclaim that God's got good things for you, right? When the journey has, your future's never looked brighter, but your journey has also not even begun, right?
Right.
It's effortless to believe that your spouse is God's best for you when your vows and your silverware are still shiny and polished. It's a whole nother thing when things don't go as planned. When things don't go as planned, we lose sight of God's goodness, the goodness that we were even once confident of. But Asaph shows us that we lose sight of God's goodness when something else happens as well. In this next verse, Asaph says this, "But as for me, I almost lost my footing. My feet were slipping, and I was almost gone." He's saying this in the first verse. "I was standing confident that God was good, but now I'm waffling and stumbling, and here's why." In this next verse, he tells us, For I envied the proud when I saw them prosper despite their wickedness. They seem to live such painless lives. Their bodies are so healthy and strong. They don't have troubles like other people. They're not plagued with problems like everyone else. Things not going planned in Asaph's life shook his confidence in God. But understand, envying others made him feel forgotten by him. They made him feel forgotten by him. Asaph, so focused with what seemed to be going so much better for everyone else, believed the lie that God didn't see him. You see, my message this morning is not about comparison and envy. My message this morning is about the goodness of God that is still present in your life when things don't go as planned. When your dreams haven't come to fruition, when that prayer you've been praying has not been answered, the goodness of God is still present in your life, even when things don't go as planned. But in order for you to receive the encouragement that God wants to give you, like I said, like a seed he wants to plant in you that could literally breathe life into one of the most deserty, parched areas of your soul, we're going to have to till the field. We're going to have to uproot the weeds. And the first weed that's got to go if you're going to grab hold of God's goodness is comparison. It's got to go. You want to know the quickest way to deplete yourself of the confidence that you can have that God is good and that he has good things in store for you? It is as simple as comparing your worth to someone else's path. Comparison is a trap set by the enemy. Comparison is a trap set by the enemy to get you so focused on the great that everyone else is experiencing and miss out on the good that God promises you is yours. It's a trap set by the enemy, and we see that happening with Asaph by becoming so consumed with what seemed to be. He lost confidence in what he could be certain of. That God was good and that God had good things in store for him. Have you lost sight of your confidence today? Have circumstances made you lose sight of God's goodness, that he is good and that he has good things in store for you? Asaph said these words, if you remember, they seem to live such painless lives. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to say that everyone's life seems to look perfect on Instagram, on Facebook, right? Their marriages seem to be perfect. Their children seem to be so well-behaved. Even in my career field, in ministry and pastoring, I'll see these clips of a pastor in 15 seconds spitting more fire in those 15 seconds than I've ever and will ever spit in my life. You know what I mean? It seems like everything is so perfect. Everyone's filtered faces seem to be so perfect. poreless, right? Even when it comes to Instagram influencers, maybe someone can talk to me about this after, their teeth seem to be so white. Why are all the Instagram influencers have such white teeth? Okay, I'm wondering. We'll talk about this later, okay? I digress, but it's not what it seems. It's not what it seems. Did you know that just under 50% of people take between 2 to 5 selfies to get the perfect one? Do you know that? Okay. Oh, no, it gets better. Because 28% of women, shout out to my women, take 6 to 10 selfies to get that perfect one. And another staggering 7% admit to doing 11 to 15 selfies to get that one. Hear me say this. It's not what it seems, right? Asaph said they seem to live such perfect lives, but it's not what it seems. Just because your life is not going the way you envisioned doesn't mean that everyone's life is more blessed and more favored than yours. But understand this, most importantly, just because things aren't going according to plan does not mean God has forgotten you or that he has led you astray or that he has dropped the ball or can be trusted. It's not what it seems. I know it feels that way sometimes, but God's telling you it's not what it seems. I haven't forgotten about you. I haven't dropped the ball. I know what I'm doing, even though it doesn't make sense. I'll never forget the day years ago when I literally think about this. For some reason, this was one of the scariest things I ever had been through at the time. Because I remember the day where we were a one-income family and my daughter was going to preschool and our life was so stable. And then my husband lost his job, just lost his job. We have a one-income family. We had no backup plans. We had no family. And I remember panicking. Like, what are we supposed to do, right? It seemed to be clear that God had dropped the ball. I had been reading my Bible the day before, and so instantly I thought about the fact that, like, wait a second, he never told me this was going to happen. I didn't know this was going to happen. So I went back into my journal, and I looked back on the last verse that God had given me. I wanted to know, what is the last thing he said to me? Which, by the way, is a very good practice when you don't know what the heck is happening or what God's doing. Go back to the last thing he said. I went back to the last thing, and I couldn't believe what I found. It was a verse in Psalm 73, this passage we're reading. And I found this verse that I want to share with you. I want to share this. I feel like I'm sharing with you a friend. This verse was so comforting to me. And he said this to me the day before, and it's the same words God speaks over us, no matter what has happened in the past, and no matter what will happen in the future, and this is what it is. Yet I still belong to you. Yeah. Asaph says it, yet I still belong to you. You hold my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, leading me to a glorious destiny.
Yeah, it does.
My health may fail, my spirit may grow weak, but God remains the strength of my heart. He is mine forever. I don't know what's not going according to your plan for your life. I don't know what the weight is that you carry. I don't know what went wrong last week, but I'm here to tell you that even still, you belong to him. No matter what doesn't make sense, he still knows what he's doing. And he not only has good things in store for you, he has glorious things in store for us. Even when it feels chaotic and confusing, you still belong to him. It's guaranteed. Even on the days that glory feels so much farther from you than you could even imagine. It's guaranteed. God is glorious. I want to pivot for a moment. I want to speak to those of you that feel like you're wary of this, right? Because here's the thing that I want you to know. With God as your guide, the destination is guaranteed to be glorious. I want you to know that. That if you let God guide you, he will lead you to glory. But there's a whole set of people in this room and listening online that you're going to hear that with God as our guide, the destination is guaranteed glorious, and you're instantly going to feel wary of that, right? You're going to instantly feel wary of that because you're going to say, okay, I see that truth. Okay, I see that promise. And then you're going to look at your circumstances and say, okay, glorious? This is a mess, right? And then there's a whole nother set of people. They're going to look at what I'm teaching you today, and they're going to call it prosperity gospel. That's what they're going to do. So I've decided that I'm going to address it head on. Amen? I'm going to address it head on. Because here's the reason why. As I was preparing this message, and I came to this verse that I didn't just Google, that God breathed into one of the scariest days of my entire life, right? When I get to this part and I'm envisioning telling you that God is leading you to a glorious destiny, I'm going to be very honest with you. The enemy got so in my head, okay? I don't live my life, I'm being honest, I don't live my life feeling like Satan is behind every tree telling me, like, you suck. Like, I don't feel that, okay? But as I get to this part of this message, this is what I heard him say. He said, you can't tell them that. You can't guarantee glory. And then he told me this. He said, you can't tell them that you're going to look foolish. No, listen, you can call me a lot of things, but you call me foolish and I'm going to fight back. So I'm going to address this head on, okay? Allow me to show us how we can know and always expect glory from him. 1 Corinthians 15:43 says this, when we die, our bodies are buried in brokenness, but raised in what? Glory. They're buried in weakness, but they'll be raised in strength. If you are a follower of Jesus, you've made him guide of your life. Guess what? Even in your last breath, even if your body were riddled with cancer, God promises you glory. He promises it. And this is what God told me when I was wrestling with that voice in my head. He said, you know what you can tell them? You can tell them that if it's true of their final breath, then they can unashamedly declare glory every single day of their lives, no matter what's not going as planned, no matter what's going wrong, that glory is guaranteed in your life. It is who our God is. It's not prosperity gospel. He's good. I don't believe in prosperity gospel, a gospel that just promises wealth and health, but I do believe in a God that promises you will prosper even when things don't go as planned. Yes. I believe in that God. Yes. I don't believe in a God that promises health forever and ever, amen, but I do have God to thank for strengthening my heart when it felt broken beyond repair. Yeah. Expecting glory from our God does not mean that we just get wealth and health, but it does mean that even when life is hard, God is good. And you want to know why the enemy told me that I can't tell you this, that I would look foolish? It's because he's threatened. Yeah. Right. He's threatened by what would happen if a people rose up and believed that their God is good, even when life is hard. Yeah. That's why he was threatened by this. Yeah. You see, it's our comparison, right? That's going to help us. It's going to block us from seeing God. But it's our cynicism that's going to make us question if his goodness even exists. God is leading you to a glorious destiny. He guarantees it. Don't call me foolish. God promises he is leading us to a destination that's to be desired. I know how hard that is to believe sometimes. It's probably why I felt weepy before this message, is I know how hard it is to believe, but I know that my God is good. Right. He promises he knows what he's doing. What would it look like for us to tell him today, take one step closer to saying, I believe you. Yeah. I believe you. Yeah. What might it look like for us to put our hand in his and say, okay, I'll let you guide me. What would it look like? I'm not here to just encourage you and inspire you. I want to give you what your next step may be. So I'm going to put a list on here, and I want to go through them. I want you to think for yourself. This isn't a list where every single one of these has to happen. I want you to think to yourself, what is God asking you to do? What is your next step in letting God guide you look like? The first one is to repent of comparison. I told you that it's impossible for you to see the goodness of God if you're looking to what seems to be going great for everyone else. It's impossible. But the reason I have the word repent up there, it's not an accident. You need to turn away from comparison. Yeah. Right. Turn it off. Get off social media. Stop following that person. It's blocking you from seeing the goodness of God. You need to turn away from it. The next one is expect good. Maybe you need to expect good. This is how you fight against cynicism. Just to expect good. I know this because I am a cynic. I'm a pessimist. I'd tell you I was a realist, but I can be a pessimist. We need to turn away from that and look and seek the goodness of God and expect good things. My daughter challenged me with this a month ago. Me and my daughter, we went on a mommy-daughter birthday trip. And as I was leaving for the airport, I had everything planned. I was leaving for the airport and I went to grab her bag and it was empty. And I was like, Mayday. Like, Gia, like, this is supposed to have stuff in it. Like, this is an empty bag. And she told me this. She said, well, I was just thinking that maybe someone would want to buy me a birthday gift. So maybe I need more room so that I can bring those gifts back. Okay? Yes, she's a manipulator. But also, she expects good things. And here's how the Holy Spirit nudged what is cynical in me. God was like, if only you could expect good things from me like Gia expects from her family.
Yeah.
Right? Psalm says this. It says, we expect our fill of good things from your house, God. Yeah. Do you expect good things? Because God tells you, you can expect it. That you can expect it no matter what's going wrong in your life and no matter how empty of a bag you've been given, you can expect good things. Maybe that's your next step in letting God guide you. The next one is this, trusting his timing. Easier said than done, right? Trusting his timing, trusting his reasoning. If God, this is what you need to understand. He promises, guarantees glory. If it's not glorious, keep going. If it's not good, God's not done, okay? Keep going. Trust his timing. Trust his reasoning. God has been speaking this to me lately. Krista, there is reason for what I'm withholding from you. Are we going to believe that? Are we going to trust his timing? Are we going to trust his reasoning? The next one is this, inviting his wisdom. Maybe all of these don't make any sense to you and you're like, no, but maybe you need to trust his timing. Because here's the thing. Some of us don't have careers that have gone as planned, plans that we wanted that didn't happen, dreams that haven't come to fruition. But then there's a whole nother set of us who we're doing it. We're doing what God put us on this earth for. We're feeling good about it. But you know what we might not be doing? Inviting his wisdom. You know what I mean? I love the story of King Solomon. And if this is where you fall in this category, read the story of King Solomon. Because King Solomon, the best day of his career, best day, is when he got to the end of himself and asked God to help him. Because God gave him what he was lacking. He gave him so much wisdom. Solomon was like, I don't know what I'm doing here. I think I could do a better job. And God's like, thanks for asking. And literally poured out so much wisdom on him that he became one of the wisest kings in all of history. If only we would ask our God and invite his guidance. I love 1 Corinthians 1:8-9. It says, we were crushed and overwhelmed beyond our ability. But as a result, we stopped relying on ourselves and learned to rely only on God who raises the dead. This is what I want you to know, is that God wants you to know what he's capable of. He's a God who has raised the dead. And when you're at the end of your ability, that's when he could blow your mind. The God who raises the dead, he could blow your mind with endless possibility if only we would ask him. If only, even when we're successful, if only we would say, God, I want you and all of your power to partner with me. Invite his wisdom. It's as simple as your next step being asking for his direction the next time you have to make a big decision. Inviting his wisdom in. And this last one, maybe your story is like me. Maybe God took from you what you thought you wanted. Maybe you need to expand your vision. Maybe you need to expand your vision. I told you in the beginning how God had messed up all of my plans, and he did. He messed up all of my plans, and to be honest, I cried and cried and grieved because I really loved the plans that I had for me. I loved them. These are my plans. This is the teacher, the career that I was going to be. I loved these plans, but you know what God knew? That I didn't know at the time. It's really interesting, actually. I would have been a terrible teacher. I would have been a terrible teacher, okay? This dream that I had for me would not have worked out because I'm not passionate about lesson plans. I'm passionate about people. I would have been that annoying teacher that didn't teach your kid geometry or algebra or U.S. history because I'd just be like, can we talk about how you're feeling? What are you doing? Like, what's it? I would have been a terrible teacher. But you know what's interesting? I'm not passionate about algebra. I'm not passionate about U.S. history. But do you know what I am passionate about? I'm passionate about Jesus. From a young age, I read my Bible. It came to life to me. I love Jesus. I love his word. I love dusting people off and lifting them up and telling them who God has made them to be. I love it. I would make a terrible teacher. But you know what God knew? Is that maybe, just maybe, she could knock it out of the park as a pastor. Yeah. Right? Understand, when it felt like he was extinguishing my dream, and let me tell you something, it felt like he was extinguishing my dream. He wasn't extinguishing it. He was expanding it. Yeah. Expanding it. This is who our God is. You have a dream for yourself, and he's like, that's cute. I could do this. Do you know what I mean? You want to teach algebra, that's great, but what if I had you teach my word, my heart? What if I entrusted you to tell the world about me? This is my story. Yeah. He didn't extinguish it. He expanded it. Yeah. This is the Bible, okay? Abraham had a dream. He wanted one son, and God was like, I'm going to make you the father of the nations. You just got to expand your vision. Yeah. David wanted to be a shepherd. That was in his wheelhouse. And guess what? We serve a God who called him out of the sheep pen and made him the shepherd of Israel. He made him king of his people. This is our God. Maybe, just maybe, God asked you to give him what you thought you wanted, but maybe he's asking you to believe that he has something so much bigger than you could ever imagine. That is my story. That's what I'm learning. Whatever he is asking you to do today, the result is going to be good. Yeah. Believe it. I'm going to leave you in our time together with this quote by Charles Spurgeon. This quote that I want to be our heart today amid all the things that are not going as planned. Here's what he says. Oh my God, however perplexed I may be, let me never think ill of thee. If I cannot understand thee, let me never cease to believe in thee, for thou art good. He's good, guys. Asaph was right. Truly, God is good. Thou art good. We may not know where he is leading, but here's what you can guarantee, that God has something so good for you if you let him guide him, if you let him guide you. Put your hand in his and let him lead you to the good that he has for you. Let's pray.
Hey, thanks for listening to this week's podcast. We hope it encourages you in your faith and blesses you throughout the week. If you'd like to find out more about Meta Church, you can find us online at meta.church. And we hope to see you again next week on the podcast.